Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, right. No, Senator Morrissey, this is not a casino bill. good morning, everybody, and welcome. Governor Patrick, and I know Senate President Murray called earlier, and she had an eye infection, and she had to go see the doctor, so she told me that she couldn't be here, but said that she would say nothing but absolutely good things about this legislation.
With a couple of
reservations. So, Senator, with a couple of, not 100%, but... So that gives Senator Morrissey instructions for later on when you speak, by the way. My fellow colleagues, we have here people from business and environmental advocacy groups, energy industries, et cetera, and I want to welcome all of you, and I want to thank you all for being here this morning. Today is a very important day for Massachusetts. Today we are announcing legislation that will establish the goals and policies for dealing with our energy crisis for the present and the future. This is a comprehensive plan that will result in energy conservation and efficiency, as well as creating new alternative sources that are clean and renewable. We are today embarking on a new era of energy reform that is bold, innovative, and will forever change how we purchase, use, and create our energy here in Massachusetts. I am extremely proud of the work that the committee has done, especially my chairman, Brian Dempsey, who worked so very hard on the legislation that I had filed almost a year ago. I congratulate the administration on working with the legislature for so many months to come up with a plan that is agreeable and workable for everyone. This is a great example of how we have worked together over the last 11 months. These are the kinds of negotiations that go on a daily basis that show that the administration, that the legislature, both House and Senate, can work together to create a piece of legislation that will do great things. And I'm very proud of the work that is being done on this bill. We in Massachusetts need to address this energy problem because of the high cost of energy here in Massachusetts. And I don't have to explain it to you because it's been in the headlines every single day for the last few weeks about the increased costs to us here in Massachusetts, both in business and to consumers and individuals across this state. This bill sets a new course. This gives an incentive for renewable clean energy sources to be generated here in Massachusetts. And not only that will that reduce the costs over the years by at least 10% by requiring renewables to be used by at least 20% of our supply, but it will in turn make our environment and address the ever-pressing issues of greenhouse gases and how they affect our environment for many years to come. This is a bill that has things for everyone. It also includes consumers being able to purchase efficiently products that will create efficiencies in energy that they use, and it will also create a tax deduction for people who buy hybrid cars so that we can finally address the issue of cleaning up emissions here in Massachusetts. So, in addition, I want to point out that we named this originally the Green Communities Act, and the Green Communities proposal is in this legislation that will allow communities to have independent, efficient, renewable energy sources in their communities to reduce the cost of electricity in their cities and towns that I believe will reduce costs for them so that they can not rely on increasing property taxes for people in their community to pay for these services. So there are many, many benefits to this particular legislation. There are many aspects of this legislation that are extremely positive, and I think that is why we have such a consensus after the great compromises that we've made in this bill. This bill will go an awful long way to bring Massachusetts into a new era, as I said before, in dealing with the energy crisis here in Massachusetts. And at this time, I'd like to introduce to you the governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, who many of his ideas and concepts, when he was sworn in January, were incorporated in this bill. And I want to have him say a few words about not only this legislation, but about the cooperation that we've had during the process. Thanks. Governor?
Thanks, Senator. Thank you, Sal. Thank you. I want to say, Mr. Speaker, how proud of you I am and how proud of the teamwork that made this bill possible. And to that end, I want to acknowledge the collaboration and the hard work of the Speaker, to be sure, of the Senate President, who could not be here today, but who is here in spirit and believes in this initiative, in Attorney General Coakley and her wonderful staff, to Secretary Bowles and his team, to the Chairman of the Joint Committee, Chairman Dempsey, and Chairman Morrissey, and the many, many others, those here and those represented here, who worked together very diligently over the last many, many months to make this the latest on our journey toward a clean energy future. We have been on a journey, and we have been on it together, beginning in January with Massachusetts joining the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, and then a proposal that we all shared in to meet future load growth through conservation initiatives we have to require greenhouse gas emissions analysis in all new real estate, large real estate development projects, and an initiative we announced just this week, new policies to bring in the next generation in biofuels. This is a journey, and the sector, the industry around clean technology has responded with new companies, new kinds of investments, new promise for our economic and our energy future. That is all good news. And today's proposal, today's action by the House Committee, and the action we look forward to from the full body and from the Senate is the next step in that important journey into a clean energy future. And I congratulate everyone who has been a part of this and will be a part of this going forward. And Mr. Speaker, I thank you for your leadership.
Thank you very much, Governor. And now it gives me pleasure to introduce to you the Attorney General, Martha Coakley, who is gracious enough to come here to talk about this legislation, because she will be an integral part of this. Her office will now be making sure that they are protecting consumers in this particular bill, and that consumer advocacy will be controlled and directed and protected by the Attorney General under this legislation. And I'd like to introduce to you Attorney General Martha Coakley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Do not underestimate how difficult this challenge was and is, and the collaboration and the hard work by everybody behind us, and a lot of people who aren't here today, including, I think we all will acknowledge our staffs on this, is somewhat unprecedented, at least in my experience. And I was reminded this morning, putting on my scarf and my winter coat and turning on the heat, winters in New England are tough, they are expensive, and it is one of the single biggest problems facing this Commonwealth. But this leadership by the Speaker, and I know the Senate President, and certainly Representative Dempsey and Senator Morrissey and their staffs have done an incredible job, I think, in looking both both for the near future and the long run, on what we need to do to make this less of a problem in the Commonwealth. I appreciate the fact that we are going to be able to continue and, in fact, expand our work on behalf of ratepayers to make sure as we go forward the process is fair. And as I have learned, this is one area where also all of our businesses are consumers. We all buy energy. We need to pay for it. We want it clean. It is not an easy task. But I am glad to be here today in support of this bill, and I think it's an incredible accomplishment that everybody, including you, Mr. Speaker, should take credit for. Thank you.
And now before I introduce the next speaker, my chairman of the Joint Committee of House and Senate, I want to thank a lot of the colleagues that are in this room, too many to mention, who have an interest and who had input into this particular legislation. And before introducing him, I'd like to say that I entrusted him with this job to go out and get a consensus by all of the different proposals presented by my membership, presented by industry, business, the environmental people, the industry itself, the utilities. He has done a magnificent job, along with his co-chair, Senator Morrissey. He has gone beyond the call of duty in this particular bill, is gone beyond the expectations of myself and other people trying to figure out how we're going to be able to get as many groups here as possible to agree with this legislation. So I'd like to have give him a personal thank you and introduce to you for a few remarks, my chairman, Brian Dempsey.
Thank you very much. I'm just delighted to be here and excuse me, join with Speaker DeMacy. It was well over a year ago when the Speaker made it very clear that energy policy has to be at the forefront for this session, that we need to embrace a comprehensive plan and strategy. And I applaud that leadership very early on. And then we had the good fortune to have a governor elected who is committed to energy. He understands the need for policy, a strategy. He understands the need and the benefit of the economic development component. And he, in turn, appointed an outstanding Secretary of Energy and Environment, Ian Bowles, who has a passion, vision, ideas, and in working not only with the administration, but with my good friend Senator Morrissey, our Attorney General, Chairman DeLeo, we collaborated and wanted to do something that, as the Speaker kept saying to me, keep in mind the word bold. We want to be bold, and we've done that. But quite frankly, it couldn't be done.
Balls.
Absolutely. But keep in mind, none of this couldn't have been done without the work of the Save Energy Coalition, all of the individuals that are standing to my left, right, behind me, all of you who are here, made this a reality. Because over the last several months, we have had dozens and dozens of meetings. Everyone compromised, everyone worked together. We tried to build consensus as best we could. So every single person who committed their time, their input, their value, their background to this process, personally, we value that a great deal, and you've made this a reality. With respect to where we go, this is bold with respect to the area of efficiency, the area of renewables. We believe that this will have a significant impact on the Commonwealth for years and years to come. We look forward to, as a committee, working through this process, and look forward to continuing the collaboration that we've started. It's a great day for Massachusetts, and thank you all very much for your participation.
Thank you. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce his counterpart in the Senate and the Joint Committee. Very good friend of mine, extremely knowledgeable in the legislative process. We work together on many different issues in which he has been a great collaborator and has contributed greatly on many issues that he's dealt with over the years. We actually served together in the House That's how long I've been in the House, Mike.
I was there before, though.
Yeah. He was there before me. That's how long he's been around. My good friend, Senator Morrissey, Mike Morrissey.
You know, the speaker was right, and we really have him to thank in some respects, because when he filed the bill, he woke most of you up. So some of you will get that and some of you won't. Having said that, I want to thank the speaker for waking most of you up in the energy community, those of you especially who had some significant concerns. But we talk about, we said Bode and Bowles. Well, Governor, it's actually great to have an administration that does have an energy policy. It's been a while. And Ian actually has been torturing us. So we just want to say there's great staff, and that's one of the other issues that the speaker touched upon, and Brian, too. If you haven't talked to the Senate President's staff or the Speaker's staff or even Brooke and Paul in my office, it's your own fault. And because we've been open and available to talk to people a lot of different concepts. And this is, we do have a lot of agreement. The Attorney General was kind enough to steal two of my own staffers, so she's had quite a bit of access, too. And Jed, who runs her utility division. So, you know, we have some very, very capable and knowledgeable people, and it's made it much easier to put together a piece of legislation. But I would also be somewhat remiss to say that we do have some other ideas as well. My friend Senator Pacheco, who's here, has a greenhouse gas initiative that will be coming on the heels of this, and that there'll be more that I think will help the Commonwealth as well. Rob O'Leary has been pushing least cost procurement, and a number of my Senate colleagues, and there are some other initiatives that the Governor mentioned. He just announced this week the biofuel piece, and since I have one of the plants in the district, I'm very interested. But then that may make an appearance as well. So there are some other issues, and I know a couple of you have politely said, well, when you hear the word technical correction, usually your ears kind of perk up, and I know a couple of you have suggested there's a couple of small technical changes, and I'm sure we await a couple of those small changes, right, Mr. Speaker? But all in all, it's a terrific piece of legislation. We think it moves us down the field. It will really help us try to meet our energy needs and to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. But I just wanted to thank all my colleagues in both the House and the Senate, because it is a while. We will try to do it as quickly as possible. It's 100 pages, double space, 106, that I know the Senate President is very interested in moving this forward on the agenda. The formal session ends very shortly. I know the Speaker is trying to do this as quickly as possible as well. Now, some of my colleagues are going to need a little bit of time to read some of it, and I already know that they have a couple of additional ideas, but we will do the best we can to finish it as quickly as possible, and thank you all for your support, especially the stakeholders that are here.
And now I'd like to introduce a man who I think the Governor has made a great appointment in this particular case. Actually, we make great appointments in all of everything. I think Doug Peterson here. He's a great appointment. Yeah, Doug, you're a good appointment. But Ian Bowes, Secretary Ian Bowes, really worked tirelessly on this bill. He is an extremely capable individual with a great deal of knowledge in this area, and he has been extremely helpful, and he's also been able to help us push some of the agenda that's in here, the bold, creative, innovative proposals that are in here. He has worked on, and I congratulate him on a job well done. So I'd like to have him say a few words about the long, tedious process he had with working with the legislature.
Well, I'll be very brief. A lot of what should have been said has been said. Let me just highlight a few things. First, some thanks to the Speaker for his leadership, to Brian Dempsey for his perseverance and hard work, and Michael Morrissey as well, to my friend the Senate President for her focus on this, and most of all for me personally, Abbas, who tells me whenever I talk to him about it, why aren't you pushing further, getting Massachusetts out into a leadership position on energy environment issues again. So Governor Patrick, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And every day I have fun pushing your agenda. Let me just say a couple quick things about the substance. Least cost procurement, for those who are not in the wonky details like me, it basically says if there's a cheaper way to meet your energy load through energy efficiency, do that first instead of turning on power generators. That should save us about 1% or 2% a year on our energy costs. It's a big, bold thing to do. We need to do it. It's good for greenhouse gas emissions. It's good for costs. It makes all the sense in the world. It's the centerpiece of this legislation. Second, on renewables, we need to do new things on making it easier to build these things in the Commonwealth. That means some changes to siting. It means some new incentives. We do that in a pilot program for long-term contracts for renewables. These are big, big steps forward. Third, greenhouse gas emissions. This bill sets a bold goal. The governor and I are together with the New England governors and Eastern Canadian premiers earlier, but we also agreed with them on some bold goals. We need to do that. That's setting a target for us to move on greenhouse gas emissions, which we need to do. This bill also does some other things. It puts us into the International Energy Conservation Building Code. That'll get us into green buildings and emissions and power use that come from there. And taking that together with the biofuels initiative earlier this week means we're addressing, in the space of 1 week, the fuel side of it, the utility and electricity side of it, as well as the building code side. So we're getting at economy-wide greenhouse gas emissions, and we're saving people money. This is a terrific piece of work. I look forward to working very closely with Michael and the Senate President as it moves forward. And I thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, for your kind words and your leadership here today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. And I just want to make note, I did say there was a great cooperative effort that took 11 months, by the way, Governor. And sometimes slow and steady as you go, you come up with something really, really good. So. Did you get that?
I got it.
Now I'd
you
like
get
to.
This part?
Yeah. Very pushy, this guy. Yeah. And now I'll open it up to questions, and that means I'm going to bring up Senator Morrissey and Chairman Dempsey here to the front, and Ian Bowles.
Mr. Speaker, what are the costs associated with the bill?
It's primarily a revenue-neutral bill. One of the things that the Speaker made very clear from the outset is that we didn't want to have any impact on the ratepayer. We're tempted to embrace significant tax credits, but we resisted given the budget climate. We believe that ultimately they could lead to potential savings, but it is a revenue neutral bill with no additional cost.
Small cost with the hydro car.
That's $3 million in the hydro.
Minor, so we consider
the hybrid cars are
negligible, and the savings that cities and towns and the Commonwealth will reap from some of this will more than make up for any cost that we see.
Who require utilities when they sign these contracts to have a certain percentage of renewable energy? And do we know that they can achieve that? And for instance, in citing the wind power, right, you know that not from my background, how will we build so that power will be?
Well, let me just say, the Commonwealth has one of the oldest renewable portfolio standards in the nation, which is the requirement that utilities procure a certain amount of their power from renewable sources. What you've seen in recent years is we're a little bit below compliance, so they've been paying into something called an alternative compliance payment system. We do have 3 biomass plants in siting today in the Commonwealth. There's several new ones in New Hampshire that are coming online. So I think the utilities will be able to meet their renewable requirements under current law. What this bill does is says, in addition, by 2020, the goal is to get to 20% of new renewables, and it provides some additional incentives. So yes, we're on a pathway, but also this bill sets a more bold goal.
And what about the wind generation? How does this bill address that?
Well, so do you want to describe what the siting proposal is?
We do have a modest effort at siting with respect to cities and towns, if in fact a city or town would work with us regarding the siting approach we currently have through the state, then they would then in turn be qualifying for the Green Communities Program.
We also have tried to, through net metering, encourage some on-site generation at some of our commercial and even cities and towns, and have given them great latitude to be able to
reap all of the benefits from generating their own power. So we think that is another area. And one of the things you have to remember is that as we ratchet up the amount of renewable power that we need, the whole goal is you never want to catch that. You want to keep chasing the number. And by chasing that number, you can continue to have people develop in that marketplace, and you make it worthwhile with the various incentives. And so if we, if Cape Wind came online, for instance, that may change. Just raise the number and always create the market for people to want to develop renewable power alternatives. And we have a lot of evergreen power people like that, and we've made commitments under the governor's administration to keep people here and develop people in the energy business, as well as we have some terrific conservation energy companies here. So we think that it fits very well, and it will create some jobs in the future. Maybe export some of the technology.
Does someone talk a little bit about the Green Building Code, a few examples of what that means?
Yeah, I would just say that several other states, about a third of the states are part of this. What would it mean? They're currently under revision, but one of my staff threw out the figure that you'd have basically about 30% less energy used in buildings by the code. So this is going to make some significant step forward. You take that together with the commercial real estate industry moving towards green buildings today. You see projects like the Harvard Alston project being, a really advanced green building, Genzyme's headquarters, many others. The industry's moving in that direction. That'll help with this.
We have an energy code now in our building code, and what we try to do is encourage the building code, the Department of Public Safety, to take a look at the international building code and on a periodic basis step up and adopt some of the provisions that will fit into our own code to encourage people as they build to build more green buildings. So we're trying to update the codes quicker and faster to stay with the technology.
Let me just answer your question specifically what it means. Heating, cooling, lighting of buildings are the big energy users. This will require them to advance in all those areas. No, compact fluorescent lights, advanced high-efficient boilers, efficient air conditioning, things of that nature.
Now, this building code, is this for just commercial properties, or is this affect residential as well?
It's commercial. I think it's,
do you know?
It's
both.
Right, everybody.
Both.
Yeah.
What incentives would you have for Cape Wind for other large-scale wind development?
Well, the bill is drafted as a pilot program for long-term contracts for renewables, which would allow up to 3% of the load. So it's a small pilot program. But for any of these types of projects, and there's several, there's three biomass projects in siting right now, there's some wind projects in Western Mass, and several others. So for any of these types of renewable projects, it would require the utilities to enter into long-term contracts to give them some of that price certainty that Senator Morrissey was talking about for the value of the renewable energy credits, the attribute that goes along with generating renewable power. So it would help all those types of projects.
Why is this a better bill now than
because they're all standing behind us.
That's it. That's exactly right. Next question. Exactly right.
In addition to that.
Senator Morrissey said, I woke up a lot of people.
Well, where it stands right now is they're doing a study. This is a proposal at this stage from Senator Joyce. It hasn't entered our agencies for formal review at this stage. I think that, obviously any proposal to put a renewable power generation in a park is going to cause concern. And I think the question is, what's the individual environment there? So on that hilltop, you've got meteorological towers, radio transmission, and a built-out parking lot and several buildings. And so I think part of the question will be, is that an appropriate site? But at this stage, it hasn't come before us for review, so we'll withhold judgment and review it on the merits.
Any other questions?
Mr. Speaker, could you address the question of the presidential primary date?
Well,
you've got a lot of agreement going on today.
Is that associated with wind-generated energy? No. Is there any other question on the subject matter?
That was thermal energy.
Thermal energy, you said. So. Any other questions on the energy bill? No. Changing the date? No, I think. Oh. No, I on changing the date to February 5th that the Secretary Galvin just proposed, I think Massachusetts should have a larger role, a bigger role, or as an important role as some of the other states that have early primaries, and I would be in favor of that.
Governor, are you in support of that?
Yeah, I am. I think it's it makes a lot of sense. You know, we will join 21 or 22 other states. I think over time, we may well see, not in this cycle, but a national primary, and that wouldn't be a bad idea either.
Mr. Speaker, going back to the energy bill, what are the biggest differences between your original bill that you filed and the one now?
Are there a couple of things that are brand new, or just
all the stuff?
Yeah. Right now, I don't see any. Do you? one of the things that I specifically changed at the request of the administration was the reorganization of the governance and the secretary, and I gave deference to the governor, and when he told me that he wanted not to do the thing that I wanted to do on restructuring the governance of, you know, the secretariat, et cetera, so I compromised on that, and I think that, you know, he had every right to make a decision on his administration and how he would govern this new law, and I respect that. And those are the kinds of things that we worked out during the course of our debate on this bill. Anything else? If not, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Congratulations.